culture, discipline, accountability.
Mistreatment, misrepresentation.
Knowledge is power, y'all.
There has to be accountability.
This pandemic of toxic work culture and mistreatment has got to stop.
The podcast for federal employees by federal employees.
What's up? What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Fed Up. I'm your host, Ron Speakman. And today we have a guest for you from the state of PA who is a rural carrier. And she's going to be talking about OWCP work injury that she's went through, threats of termination from management, including being wrongfully terminated, harassment, Privacy Act violations, and just a whole host of other things that reside in a toxic work environment that we constantly deal with on a day-to-day basis. But without further ado, let's welcome in our guest today, Danielle. Danielle, welcome to the show.
Hey, Ron. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, Danielle, how long have you been working in the Postal Service for?
16 years. I started in 2007.
16 years. Congratulations. It's a long fucking time.
It is.
Now, how long have you, were you in RCA before you became a regular, I take it?
Yes, 8.5 years. I was in RCA.
8.5 years. And is that a normal time frame for an RCA before they become a regular? Because I've heard the average on 7 to 8 years, but I wanted your take on that.
Yeah, it definitely is, because, you know, some of these older carriers don't want to ever leave. And I actually know somebody that's almost retirement age herself, and she's been in RCA for 22 years.
That's crazy. 22 years.
Yeah.
Damn. 22 years. Now, does that time, any of that time count towards retirement?
No, that's another problem.
Exactly. But Danielle, tell me a little bit about your story. I know we have a lot to cover, a lot to get into, a lot of different issues. But I kind of want to just give you the floor, and then we'll just kind of go from there, if that's okay.
Sure. On March 18th of this year, they gave my route an LLV. They were trying to get that right in there before our ECS went into effect, to effectively cut down my route and my pay.
And what exactly is that for people who don't know the terminology?
Our ECS is a rural route evaluated compensation system. So that's where the engineers arbitration decided this system, and engineers designed this system and it's replacing the evaluated compensation system, which we were under before.
Gotcha.
And now everything is set. Engineers set the standards, and people who have never delivered mail set the standards for how long it's supposed to take us to do these things, which, you know, you were on a city route, I'm on a rural route. Anybody who's a carrier knows every route's different.
Yep.
Some routes have gravel roads, some routes have paved roads, some routes have highways, some routes have farm equipment crossing the road. There's cows in the road. There was a goat on top of my car. You know, anything can happen to you. I don't think they factored that in.
Right, exactly. So RREX, basically, how does this affect rural carriers? Because I wanted to talk to you about the pros and cons, but to me, from what it seems, there really aren't any pros to be had.
Some routes gained, but those percentage of routes that have gained, I think they would have gained even more if the standards were fair. You know, the problem is there's so many standards that in there that there's no possible way, even in a perfect environment, in a perfect world, you couldn't get them done in that amount of time. You know, it's just not possible to fuel your vehicle in the amount of time that they allot you. You know, I go to a gas station where I can pull right up to the pump and get gas most of the time. But if I have to walk inside to get the receipt because the thing's out of paper, then the time that they allot me is blown out of the water. So I'm doing things that are taking way longer than the standards. Therefore, it effectively cuts my pay.
That's crazy. Crazy. Is it true that you actually got to scan your packages one by one? You can't just scan 10 and carry them up together to the doorstep?
Well, due to the lack of transparency of our ECS, unfortunately, we don't know if that affects our route, because there's so many reports that are associated with our ECS that you would have to pull on a daily basis. You would literally go home with a packet of homework every day that you worked to study at night to make sure that, and you would have to physically manually count everything yourself every day and then go in and see if the data that they have matches up with what you have documented, and in order to, and then wait until they do their mini mail survey to dispute their facts against the facts that you've documented. So, you know, it's crazy the way that they have everything worked out to their advantage.
That's crazy. Now, you were talking a little bit before about the LOVs. Talk to me about that, because I know you had some beef about the LOVs as far as the shape that we're in, et cetera, et cetera. Can you talk to me about your experiences about that?
Yes. On March 18th of this year, they forced me to take an LOV. I didn't want an LOV. I've had a Ford F-150 the entire time I've been a regular carrier, which has four-wheel drive, air conditioning, a radio, all the modern conveniences that you're used to, you know. And I had to go to retraining in Pittsburgh to drive the LOV because I had never had one since I first was trained as an RCA in 2007. So when they gave me the LOV, you know, the trainers had assured me when I was at training that if I found any issues with the LOV, no big deal. Just submit your, you know, your paperwork, your 4565 indicating that there's a mechanical issue or a problem with the vehicle and they'll fix it. No problem. No biggie. So I drove the LOV that Saturday. Noticed there was a lot of issues with it, such as the horn not working properly. The steering was loose. The exhaust was super loud. Everything rattled and banged. And, you know, it was just, it gave me a headache. It was so loud in there. So I reported all these issues to my, you know, wrote them down on a piece of scrap paper because it didn't have an official form yet because we just got the LOV. I'm in a one route office. So I submitted that scrap paper with, you know, the issues on it to my postmaster, who then brought in who she claimed was a mechanic from another office and said that the mechanic is out there right now looking at it and there's nothing wrong with it. So I go outside and I see a lady in a fur coat and I'm like, that's a mechanic. Wow. And there's another guy out there and I'm like, that's not a mechanic. That's the maintenance man from, you know, a neighboring post office. Cause I've seen him multiple times before. So she lied and told my union steward that it was a mechanic. I had never expected such a big hoopla to be made over me saying that there was problems with the LOV, but they made a big issue about it and told me I had to go drive it, you know, that it was perfectly safe to drive, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So then a couple of days later, I filled out another slip saying that the horn still wasn't working properly. Customers weren't able to hear me whenever I'm beeping the horn to, you know, hail them to the vehicle to sign for certifieds or come retrieve their packages or whatever. Or most importantly, when they want you to beep it when you back up.
Mm-hmm.
So I continued to drive the LOV until April the 4th. And on April the 4th, I was driving the LOV and the horn got stuck on. Like it was beeping intermittently. When I would go, or if I would turn the wheel a certain way, it would beep. If I would go over a bump, it would beep. for an hour or so, it was beeping intermittently. For the last hour of my route, it was stuck on the entire time.
Wow.
Now they wanted to fault me for not reporting this immediately, but keep in mind my complaints thus far had went swept under the rug, as you like to say. They didn't want to hear about any complaints I had. So I just figured, hell, you know, I might as well just deliver my route. And at the end of the day, I'll let her know because they don't care.
Right.
That's the way I felt. So when I got about 10 boxes away from the post office, the horn finally shut off. Wouldn't work at all anymore. God. I assumed that it just burned up. So I was like, oh, thank God, you know, after having it stuck on for an hour, I was ready for it to be over with.
Right.
And be off. So I get back to the office. I submit my paperwork again, the third slip indicating that there was a problem with the horn. And my postmaster doesn't say anything when I tell her, hey, the horn burned up on the LOV. It was stuck on for a couple hours and then it burned up at the end of the day. Doesn't ask me any questions. I sign out. I go home. Next day, they come get the original LOV, give me another one, and I'm driving, delivering in it, and it's stalling out on me. And so she is going to come and meet me somewhere because there's a problem with the second LOV. And I'm like, okay, I got it started again. It's running fine. But then further on in the route, I saw her vehicle approaching and another vehicle. They boxed me in the driveway and demanded my keys.
They boxed you in. Wait, what?
Yeah. Like they were the SWAT team. I'm not kidding.
Yeah. I was going to say, so they took like invasive action and special tactics to box you in.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, they blocked me in. I was coming back out of someone's driveway and two cars blocked the end of the driveway. Like I was, going to be arrested and thrown in the back of a paddy wagon.
Lord,
or something.
I wish they did that to me. Oh my God. That's crazy.
I had no idea what was going on still. At this point, and she's demanding my badge and keys. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? And I kept asking her why.
Did you even ask her to identify herself? Like, who the hell are you? Show me a badge.
Right. Well, it was my postmaster. I knew.
Oh, so you already knew
the guy who was with her. I have no idea.
Right. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Because you said there was two cars that, kind of boxed you in, right?
Yeah. There was a man in the one car and her in the other one.
Right.
He was going to drive the LLV back and she was going to drive me back in her vehicle to the office.
Gotcha. Still, though, why would you drive two vehicles to get one vehicle? It makes no damn sense to me. Once again, management not thinking things through before they act. But I'm sorry, man. Go ahead.
So she refused to tell me why I was being placed on emergency placement. I had no idea of, you know, of any reason that I could think of. I was just thinking the whole ride back to the post office, what could they possibly be removing me over? Like, I had no idea. When I get back to the post office, finally, she says, I'll get a letter in the mail, but they're removing me because I damaged the horn on the LLV, that I beat on it so hard that it bent the rivets.
Is that what they said? You beat on it.
Yes, that I beat on it so hard that I bent the rivets.
I think if you beat on that truck, the tire would fall off too. That's how poor in shape these fucking trucks are, I tell you.
Exactly. So I'm like in shock. So as soon as I get out of the office, I call my union steward and I tell her, hey, you know, they just removed me. Did they let you know that they're removing me? They're placing me on emergency placement because they're claiming falsely that I damaged the LLV. Oh, no, you know, I can't believe that. Don't you worry about it. You're going to get your job back with back pay. Basically made it seem like it wasn't a big deal because she said, in order to prove this allegation, they would have to have you on video or have an eyewitness that saw you do this.
So is this your union store?
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay, no problem. There's no way they have that because it didn't happen.
Right.
In retrospect, I wish they would have had a camera in the LLV because it would have exonerated me completely because I did nothing wrong.
Exactly.
Except for piss them off by telling them that this vehicle was a piece of trash.
You're not,
over and over again.
You're not alone there. You're not alone. For people who are listening to this who aren't even in the Postal Service, explain a little bit, just touch on it. Is it a fair assessment to say that just about our whole LLV fleet, there's poor maintenance that's taken on every single piece of these, no matter what garage we get, if it's a new one we're getting, whatever the case is. Even with the maintenance, you can't really blame the garages who are fixing these or trying to anyway, but these LOVs are just poor shape, right?
Right. I mean, any vehicle that you're going to find, okay, mine starts with the number 4. And what I've been told is that since it starts with the number 4, it was manufactured in 1994. Now, if you go out in the general, in the population of the United States.
Right.
And look for vehicles that were manufactured in 1994. You're not and are still capable of running and driving around safely and will pass the state inspection. You won't find too many.
Right.
And since the Postal Service's vehicles are exempt from passing state inspection, specifically due to their the emissions laws, they can circumvent the whole process and put these pieces of junk that shouldn't even be on the road and frequently catch fire, you know, and make you drive them, and then want to have the nerve and the audacity to tell you about safety.
Yeah.
Get real.
When you're actually bringing safety to their attention, another one's laughing in your face, just take this truck. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's safe.
Yeah.
They told me that day, if I didn't want to drive it, take an annual leave and go home for the day.
You know what? I would have did that and had my union give me a free day, and I would have got paid for it without using my time, mind you. Unions can be good when they do what they're supposed to do. I know a lot of people hear me talk shit about the unions, but that's because they need to be talked about. A lot of these people ain't doing what they're supposed to do. But back to the LOVs, you fill out the 4565s, which are maintenance slips for those of you who don't know what those are. But you also submitted 1767s regarding safety. Right. So talk on that a little bit.
Yeah. Correct.
You filled out a little bit of both of those, right? 1767s
correct.
And 4565s.
Well, because I've been down this road before with my previous postmaster, I knew that, they could kind of, the 4565s I had never dealt with before, but I had dealt with the 1767, and I knew that they had to have a response for that particular slip in 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So I filled one of those out about the LLV, and they still insisted. At that point, when I filled the 1767 out, is when they brought a mechanic from the VMF to my office, who was there for less than 5 minutes, drove the LLV less than 100 yards and did not blow the horn, because I'm in the office and I could have heard him if he would have blew the horn. So he was, you could tell by the look on his face, you know, I'm pretty good at reading people, that he was irritated about having to be there. And so he didn't do his due diligence on inspecting the vehicle.
What did he do?
Went on about his business.
What did he do when he inspected it? Just drove it in a circle and that was it?
He drove it around my post office. He drove it through down onto the main road around the alley in not even 100 yards. I kid you not. It's just around, basically he drove it around the parking lot and pulled it back in and said, nope, there's nothing wrong with it.
But it works fine, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Jesus.
And then, that was how I was removed, and I was off for 3.5 months because the lead mechanic's word was against mine. He said I beat on the horn, and I said I did not beat on the horn. I said all along, you know, I don't know how the horn stopped working, but I told you there was a problem with the horn from day one that I got the vehicle.
Yep.
You know, instead of seeing it as a possibility that maybe there was a problem with the horn all along, they weren't willing to accept that fact. So therefore, they were willing to almost destroy my career, destroy my finances, and lie about me to everyone, and you know, fire me over just to protect their own ass.
So they fired you over this. First off,
yes.
When you brought up all this LOV shit all the time with the different slips you were submitting, is it fair to say that that's when all this bullshit started happening, the targeting, the harassment, more so than any other time?
100%.
Okay.
And whenever they removed me, they had to go back and dig up, scrape the bottom of the barrel to find anything on me, because I had no discipline on my record. I had, you know, I had no write-ups. I had nothing. My record was completely clean. And whenever she went to remove me, you know, one of the things that was in my removal paperwork was that I had a pillow in the LLV.
A pillow.
She asked me what I, yes, a pillow, because the sitting in that upright seat was hurting my back.
Yep.
So I put a pillow in there. So she said I had a pillow in there. Why did I have a pillow in there?
You know how many carriers, city or rural, have either pillows, a cushion, back support thing connected to the seat and their ass or the seat? I mean, if they're going to pick on you like that, what about the other carriers? Because I know you're not the only one who's having that at your office.
Right. Well, I had to end up getting a medical slip from my doctor to be allowed to have
the
pillow.
It.
My right hand to God. I will send you, I will email you a copy.
Wow.
Of it.
That's crazy. They,
and I carried a corn rake with me as well. If you're familiar with farm tools, a corn rake is, it has tines on it, but they're curved at the end.
Okay.
And it's not like a pitchfork. She kept saying it was a pitchfork. And I said, no, it's not a pitchfork. It's a corn rake. And I use it to drag stuff, for move stuff, manipulate stuff when you're in the vehicle, so you don't have to get out of your seat. You can reach stuff and pull it forward or back, push it backward. Just like the pole that they kept claiming was in my LLV, which never was. I never knew that there was supposed to be a pole in there because I never had one before. So they claimed that this corn rake was used in a murder and that I could kill someone with it at my removal, at my PDI.
Wow. And they said that at the PDI.
Yes.
Oh,
that's
fucking golden.
They actually had a murder case that was someone got murdered with this corn rake. I said, well, if you had actually watched the true crime series that I did, a guy actually killed his wife and he blamed it on the corn rake. So it wasn't actually
that's crazy.
Done on the corn rake. And if I wanted to murder someone or if it had hurt someone, I could do it with my bare hands. I could kill you with a pencil. So you're going
to. Talking about the rake is brings me up to a story at my office when I was working. And that was a supervisor had a steak knife at the desk in the office. And the supervisor called in this carrier into the postmaster's office because, you know, that office is off the floor, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the carrier goes back and they've been pushing this lady's buttons for so damn long that I'm sure you're well aware that you will get PTSD, depression, anxiety.
Oh, yeah.
There's people who get 302'd and they go to the crazy house because of this job. And then they come back to this job.
Right.
But they constantly push your fucking buttons. Well,
every day
they had a steak knife. They brought her in. They were targeting her just like they were you. And they were trying to get her to go off the deep end. She grabbed the steak knife that was on the postmaster's desk and went after the supervisor. And you hear the supervisor yelp out like a little girl. Oh, help, help. You know,
oh, boy.
two of our carriers walked in there and then she threw the knife apparently. I wasn't there. So I can only tell you what happened. And then when I walked in from work, cause I was a little late from a doctor's appointment, the police were there and everything. And that's when I learned of everything that transpired. But saying that thing about the rake, them say that to you just reminded me of that. So it's funny how they want to tell you about that, but yet they have things sitting around all the damn time that could be weapons, right?
Yeah. There's knives in the post office. There's scissors in there. There's
letter openers
in there. There's, you know what I mean? Anything.
Box cutters,
like I said,
scissors.
You don't even need anything. If there's a will, there's a way.
Absolutely.
You can kill someone with your bare hands.
Yeah. It's just an excuse. You know, you'd be kicking a tub out of anger, or you could just be kicking a tub to push it out of your way to get to the next tub, right? Just to clear and make room. And they'll be like, that's a 911 situation. That's that I'm calling the cops and having you removed. You're like, you're sitting there, you're like,
oh,
what the fuck just happened? What? I pushed the tub of my foot. No, you kicked it and went down and just blow it out of proportion. Management's crazy. But
yeah, it's the twilight zone, basically.
But when this started happening, now, did you have, I know you were finally wrongfully terminated with no cause or evidence or proof to be fired.
Right.
Only the lead mechanic said that you did this, which again, didn't witness that, and it didn't happen. But were there ever threats of termination made before they wrongfully terminated you for this?
No, no. They weren't threatening to terminate me, but they were bringing in all the big guns to try and discredit me because they were out there recording video that day when the lady in the fur coat was out there recording video of the LLV. And later I come to find out that that particular lady is the sister of the head of the VMA or the VMF that sent my LLV to me.
Well,
so
look at
she
that.
Was there defending her sister's good name. Imagine that. As far as I'm concerned. Imagine that. People in the post office are related to each other.
I mean, to your point, actually, and to your defense, other people had access to this truck as well when you left for that day, because when you're done with your route, I'm assuming you're leaving at like 1:30, right?
Right. Exactly.
So you got the 4565s, the 1767s. There's no proof. No one witnessed it. And they had the word of a mechanic who just drove it around the parking lot for about not even a minute, didn't even beep the horn, but said the horn's fine, but then said that you're the one that broke it. Just like that, right?
Just like that. And like I said, you know, the postmaster, as far as I know, postmaster had access, had the keys to the LLV after 1:30. Between 1:30 that afternoon and the next morning, she had the keys. For all I know, she could have went out there and because she didn't believe me and tried to beat on the horn herself and bent the thing. You know, there wasn't surveillance on the LLV. Make sure that the chain of evidence is preserved here. No, it's not because other people had access to the LLV.
Yeah. So let me ask you, do you think there was any kind of shady shit going on with your management?
Well, she lied. I mean, everything that they said basically in my PDI was a lie. She made up things that said that I said things that I never even said. And I kept on saying, you know, like refuting all of the lies she kept on saying. But I felt like at my PDI that no matter what I said, they already had a predetermined outcome. No matter how much I protested my innocence, like they weren't going to believe me because they already had a, you know, their what they were going to do to me in mind. They knew they were going to send me off of work and starve me without pay, deny my unemployment. And eventually my union, who's in bed with USPS, and settles my case for no back pay and a 7-day suspension on my record.
So let me, okay. So they wrongfully terminated you first for all this shit. You got a letter of removal. You were gone, right? You were terminated.
Yep.
But the union, okay. I can't believe I'm going to say this, but the union actually did their job, got your job back. However, you were reinstated and it went on your record as a 7-day suspension with no back pay. And this was done by the ADR. And they thought that was a win for you?
Yes. That's what she told. That was her words.
Wow.
When I started to flip out about it, because I'm like, I'm sitting here for 3.5 months with no pay. You're going to tell me it's a win. Well, what are you talking about? This is a win. I got you your job back. And I was like, maybe it's a win and you can go around and brag to everybody, all your union buddies, and tell them, hey, I got all these carriers their jobs back.
Right.
But here I am with no, with 3.5 months without pay. And I'm walking back in with 1 foot out the door because I got a 7-day suspension on my record for the next year and a half. How is that a win?
I don't think that's a win. But let me say this. Regarding like the NELC, if we're disciplined, PDI, suspension, whatever the case is, if we log into Light Blue, which you can do too, right? And you go and you check your personnel file. If that discipline is not in that file on Light Blue, when you go to check, it is like it never happened and it is not there, regardless if they have the paper in their filing cabinet at the office. Now, again, that's with the NELC, but I just wanted to share that with you guys because if you are in the rural side or whatever the craft is in the Postal Service, that might also apply to you. So I would definitely check on that if I were you guys. But go ahead. I'm sorry. What were you going to say?
I saw on my pay stub this time that I have 54 days of LWOP on my pay, which is going to affect my vacation for next year.
And your retirement.
And my retirement. Correct.
Yep. So I would definitely get that squared away and tell your great union representation there to get on top of that as well, because I mean, that's got to get taken care of. 54 days. I mean, a couple days is bad. 50 fucking four. Mm-hmm. That's got to get taken care of. But once you were back, actually, I want to stop there with this whole incident. You were injured on the job, correct?
Yes, I was.
Okay. So did that happen before this incident or after that incident?
No, that happened long before the system. I was only regular care for about a year when that happened. That was like, I think in 2016 that I tore my meniscus when some people's dogs came after me.
Did the dog bite you at all?
No. Okay, it was an electronic fence, and I knew I had two large strides to beat the dog to the border. Yeah, in retrospect, I wish I would have let the dog bite me, because had I let the dog bite me, I would have recovered a lot sooner. I would have had no, further problems with my knee that I do now.
The only thing is that I was just talking about this one of the other episodes on Fed Up. When you report an injury, you report an injury, file a claim, got your CA1 or CA2, whichever it were, but in this case, CA1, and it's a dog bite, car accident, you're doing a pickup and, something falls on you from that pickup area, whatever the case is. If it's from a third party injury, you actually got to pursue damages, meaning you got to file a suit against the homeowner, or in this case, the dog owner. So if that dog would have bit you, you would have had to file a suit against them to pursue damages. And the fucked up part of it is, while you're out on OWCP, yeah, you get part of that settlement, but if you hire a lawyer, you got to pay the lawyer fees naturally, right. But then you got to pay Department of Labor. So you're guaranteed a minimum of 20%. Now you could get more depending on how long you're out or whatever the case is, but I just think that's crazy. I just wanted to throw that out there, share that with the members out there. So you wish you would have gotten bit because you wouldn't have tore your meniscus. Now, quick question. Did they make you do a dog warning card?
Yeah, they did make me do a dog warning card, but both of those people's dogs have since passed away. So they have dogs now, but they're in a fenced in part of their yard now.
Got it. Now, the reason why I asked you about if you were injured prior to this, I wanted to ask you, so basically you also had another injury, but it wasn't on the job, right?
Yes. I had to have surgery last year.
Talk a little bit about that, 'cause I want to go somewhere with this.
I had to have a hysterectomy in May of last year. I had the postmaster I'd been dealing with for 7 years at that point in time, where we were on terrible terms, and the whole time leading up to, I had submitted for FMLA from December of the previous year, because my gynecologist said I needed to have a hysterectomy. We scheduled it for May, and I submitted for FMLA, and I submitted and told him that I had to have surgery on such and such date. And the whole time he kept saying, you don't have a sub, you can't take this time off, blah, 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 blah. Even up to the day before I was having my surgery, he was telling me I couldn't take the time off. And I kept on calling my union steward, and they kept telling me, don't worry about it, because you have FMLA covers you. It's federally illegal for him to deny your leave, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I didn't care what happened at that point, because I knew, I needed to go have the surgery. And thank God that I did, because they ended up finding cancer. I had endometrial cancer, so I had to have a second surgery. A month and a half later, they went in and they took both my ovaries out and 27 of my lymph nodes.
Wow.
And I ended up going back in July. So I survived cancer that last year around the same time. I was off about 3.5 months. And during that time, I submitted a paperwork for donated leave, because I had people who wanted to donate leave to me.
Can you talk to me how you did that real quick? Because I have people who ask about that.
You have to get the form from your postmaster. Then you have to fill, the doctor has to fill out a portion of it, telling them how long you're going to be off. And then you'll have to exhaust all of your leave first before you're allowed to get donated leave. And then the postmaster fills the rest of the form out and send, and only, I think they only have to fill in like two or three little places, a date, their signature, and the estimated time that you'll be, or estimated time that you'll be out and need leave. And my postmaster deliberately didn't fill out, left things blank on it, and submitted it. And when my donated leave, that donation leave thing got approved, the day I came back to work, I didn't get any. I was off without pay. I had to take $7,000 out of my TSP to live on when I had cancer, because my postmaster did that.
Because your postmaster was an asshole. That's why.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. He retired. And I thought, he retired when I came back, before I came back from my cancer surgery. I got a new postmaster. I was hopeful that, this one would be different, but as everyone in the post office knows, it's like, different skin suit, same guts, they're all trained the same. They're stamped out of the asshole plant. And there
different
they
toilet, same shit. That's it.
100%.
So the reason why I asked that, so this second non-work related injury and surgery, I should say, happen after your work injury, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So where I'm going at with that is, do you think that between those two, the on-the-job injury and the off-the-job surgery that you had with the injuries, do you think that played into you being targeted for this horn nonsense?
It's definitely a possibility, you know what I mean? Because as we all know, the older you get, the more money you make in the post office, the more they want to get rid of you.
Notorious for that.
And also, I think my personality had a lot to do with it because I'm not one to put up with nonsense. And I treat you in kind. If you're nice to me and you say, hey, can you do this? And I'll say, you know, sure. But if you're an asshole, then I'm not going to go out of my way to help you. And
right.
That's just how it is. And that's how it should be. But I'm not a Muppet. And if you tell me to violate the contract and, you know, you think you're going to get away with it, you're wrong. And they don't like that. So whenever they want to take these carriers out that are know the contract and are making decent money, they want to get rid of table one. I'm table one. They want to put table two in my place, a young girl, you know, put some young kid in there that they can control and manipulate and intimidate into doing what they want to do. And yes, man, you know, an ass kisser, put them right in the place of me. Cause that's what they want. They want a Muppet. They want somebody who they can stick their hand up their back and control their head.
Yeah. I don't want that job. I'm good.
No, me neither. I've never been a puppet and I'm sorry. I'm not going to be,
right.
I'm not going to bend the knee.
No, you don't need to. You shouldn't have to. If anything, they should be bending the knee to us because we're on the front line busting our ass, doing what we're supposed to do, and they're abusing us and taking advantage of us. So yeah, you should never kiss ass. And it goes for all you people out there, man. If you're an ass kisser, stop that shit, please. Clean your mouth out, use some Listerine, stop kissing ass, get your head out of that boho. Stop it. Just stop it. And
do you think you're getting somewhere by doing it? Do you think that they're not going to sacrifice you to the gods if they need to be?
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? Keep making a deal with the devil. Eventually, your ass is going to get burned. That's the way I look at it.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Once you were back and they got you your job back, you're reinstated and just a 7-day with no back pay, which I still don't see that as a win. But once you were back, there was more constant harassment and there was targeting still going on, but even more. Trying to push them more, or push you, I should say, more and more. Talk to me about that.
Right. Well, I had one person called it a quote unquote welcome back meeting, and the other person called it a expectations meeting on day one when I went back. And at that meeting, you know, my postmaster was the first one to say, you know, you're a great carrier. It's just your attitude. I said, you know, do you expect me to come back here when you people lied and made me lose 3 months of my salary and put a smile on my face? That's never going to happen. I'm not happy and I'm not going to act like I am. And I said, while we're in this expectations meeting, I have some expectations. What I expect is don't talk to me. We're not friends. We're never going to be friends. The only time I want you to say something to me is if it's work related, because I don't care what's going on in your life and I'm not going to tell you what's going on in mine.
Right. Now, even with these meetings, wasn't there a stand-up talk that you told me about that was indirectly aimed at you, but not directly? That's why they had it on the floor on a stand-up talk about, wasn't it about earbuds or something?
Yeah. I've been wearing headphones and I only wear one headphone so I can hear what's going on. If they need to ask me a question, I can still hear them, but I can hear my music in the other ear. Well, tons of people wear headphones, but I'm in a one route office. So, she pulls me aside and I had to pull my headphone out, ironically, to hear give her my full attention. And she says, I just want to give you this safety talk. And I just want to let you know, you're not allowed to wear headphones on work for blah, 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 blah. I'm thinking, I've been wearing headphones for 8.5 years. I've been wearing headphones for this entire time I've been back here working with you. And it wasn't a problem until now, till you want to start picking at me every single day about something. Every day she starts shuffling her papers around and I know she's coming for me to tell me about something stupid again. This day it was about headphones. So I said, okay, you know, no problem. I won't wear headphones, but I'm not going to listen to your radio station. So we're going to have dead silence in here. Okay. I said, good. Then we don't have to listen to Christmas music either. Hallelujah.
So, I know a lot of people don't like listening to the Christmas music when it's that time of year. And rightfully so. God damn, how many packages do we have to deliver come busy time, November?
Right. To me, Christmas time is the worst time of the year. You know, yeah, great. You know, you get to celebrate with your family, but most carriers don't. RCAs don't.
Right. Let me ask you,
you're working for the post office.
Is your calendar? Yeah, it does. Is your calendar, your vacation calendar, blacked out? Come starting around Black Friday, give or take, all the way through the holidays.
Well, since I'm in a one route office, mine doesn't really get blacked out because there's my sub is my only is I'm the only route chief. You know what I mean? There's me and that's it.
Gotcha.
So I don't really have to encounter that, but I know that there's lots of offices that are, and I know lots of places that are like, you know, they told my clerk in my office, my old postmaster told her, denied her leave for her honeymoon. This woman's 64 years old. This is the first time she's ever been married. He denied her leave because she wanted to go on a holiday weekend. I said, you are crazy. And she didn't fight back.
She should have used that. She should have used that 800 number, called in, called out, and, you know, be done with it. And not here's the kicker, and not post anything on social media, no pictures where you're at when you call out, because that is just dumb. You will get disciplined right. For that. Don't do that.
Exactly. Or block everyone that you know works for the post office.
or simple, don't have social media at all. It's just crazy the amount of shit that we got to deal with. But where I was going with that was with the constant harassment, because it seemed like that you kept dealing with that. So
yeah, I'm still dealing with it as of even today.
But it seemed like it all stemmed and started mainly as soon as you got that on the job injury. Even though, and I'm talking about the one before you got hurt outside of work, right? That was 2016.
Yeah.
So backtrack a little bit. Did you notice management? Did you hear management, or you came back even see management or hear them yourself saying things about you openly on the workroom floor related to your medical history, to your private information, to your on the job injury?
Oh yeah. Whenever I had a problem with the previous postmaster, I told him, I said you're stressing me out too much. I have to leave. I don't feel good. So I left that day, and I went and I called Teladoc, and I got an excuse for that day. And whenever I sent it to him, he went around and told everybody that I was off on. I walked out on the job that I was off for mental health issues. So the post office, you know, I mean, I'm in a smaller town, so it makes its way, it makes its rounds. So what happens, you know, I don't tell everybody my business, but he told everybody my business. So eventually, right, a carrier in another office who happened to have grown up with my mother hears that I'm off on mental health issues. She wants to call my mother and see if I'm okay. Well, my mother has no idea that this is going on because I don't tell everybody my business, even my mother. I don't want to stress her out. So she calls me. She says, is everything okay? You know, so-and-so told me. And so I had to, you know, call the other carrier and say, hey, who told you that? Well, it turns out the old regular carrier that had retired heard it from my postmaster. So then I filed a grievance over that. And he said, you know, he never said it, blah, blah, blah. Well, how did everyone find out about it? In the same way this time when I was disciplined and fired, everyone and their brother heard about that. Well, my boss, because she doesn't have a quote unquote office, she's on the workroom floor and she's discussing my disciplinary actions and whatnot and all my whatever problems I'm having, is discussing it in front of everybody, and everybody knows my business now. And I filed another grievance on that. And all they get every time you file a grievance is a little slap on the wrist, and they keep going back to the same old stuff. They don't have any repercussions for their actions, so they continue those actions.
Yeah. There's never no accountability or discipline. If there is, there's minimal discipline. Let me just say that. But the accountability is hardly ever had.
Right.
I know a lot of people who deal with that. I even dealt with that, the Privacy Act violations. You know, I've heard of some offices being held accountable because they knowingly and willfully presented that information to somebody who should never had it. But it wasn't just your workroom floor. They were actually talking to customers about your stuff, right? Talk to me about that.
100%. They told the retired rural carrier that I was the sub for in my office. It lives in the town where I deliver mail. So she was in the post office, and they were telling her about, you know, how I went off on mental health and how I left him stranded. And he, believe it or not, he had her go out with him while he drove, and he had her delivering the mail while I was off. She's not even an employee anymore. And I told him that nothing was done about that. I said, anybody who is a manager or a supervisor or postmaster has zero accountability for their actions, has carte blanche to do whatever they want. There's no punishment for them. All they do is like the Catholic Church. They take them if they screw up their office, and they move them somewhere else, and they put some other jerk in their place. And it's the same shit, different day.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, to talk off of the termination and I was just to say wrongful termination, but the threats of harassment, the Privacy Act violations, the constant harassment, which to me also falls under the umbrella of dignity and respect, workplace violence, bullying, zero tolerance. Me and you were talking about this off the air a little bit, but it makes you think and wonder why people go postal and, you know, come in there, they stab or shoot or beat up, whatever the case is, a supervisor or a postmaster. Seldom will you hear another coworker, but it's mainly management. And it makes you think,
right,
what other federal agency has its own slogan, its own negative slogan, going postal? And everybody laughs about
right.
it. But that shit is, it's a pandemic of shit happening across this country, and it's been going on for years. Well, there's a fucking reason for it. I mean, management treats us like shit constantly.
Right. It's a toxic work culture, and it's not only encouraged, you know, but it's totally they're trained that way. They're trained
absolutely
to pit you against each other. It's divide and conquer.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny you said that, because I say this in a couple of my other episodes and interviews, but I actually have two people who are postmasters. They're good friends of mine. I won't name names because I want them to be anonymous. They're good people. The only time they come at you is if you're not doing what you're supposed to do, right? That's what a manager is supposed to do, accountability.
Right.
But they verify with me basically that, okay, so when you have a 204B, a supervisor, whatever the case is, even a postmaster come in, and then they're new, right? They're treating you like a human being, right? Not like a number or a warm body, quote unquote, right? They're treating you like a normal person, a human being. They're having conversations with you. Hello, how's the family? Whatever the case is, joking with you, having fun, making jokes. But then they go out to that training. And I believe the training's at district. Don't get me wrong or quote me on that. I'm not too sure, but I believe it is district. They go off into their management training. When they come back from that training, they just did a total 180 on you, and they're a completely different person. Now they're treating you like a piece of shit. Now they're treating you like a number, right? Now, instead of a person and a manager, they're actually being more like a dictator, right? They're being,
right.
It's pretty much what I like to call a boss hole at that point, right?
A
person who turns into an asshole 10 seconds after being made a supervisor, or in this case,
right,
after coming back from training. But have you seen any of that happen?
I just think anybody who gets into management, it's like a requirement of management. Okay, can you lie on demand? Do you have one at the ready, like a Pez dispenser? Okay, that's a good thing. You know, are you willing to cut anyone's throat, including your supposed friends and family at work, you know, in order to get ahead? Okay, you're in. Like, it's crazy. There, you know, I haven't seen it personally, like a person go through the training or whatever, because I've been in offices where they've just installed a postmaster that was a postmaster somewhere else. So they've already been boss holified before they got there.
Well, they were a stupidvisor before they become a boss hole. So a stupidvisor is basically a person who's promoted to the point of incompetence. I think they got to get that title first before they move on to boss hole.
Yeah. Most of the ones that I have encountered are stupid visors, because, you know, I'm like, how did he get to be a postmaster? Oh, well, he was a city carrier. I said, well, how long was he a city carrier? He was a city carrier for 2 weeks and he couldn't make it, couldn't hack it. I said, wait a minute. So you're telling me this man never really carried mail in his life, and now he's telling people how to do
uh-huh.
it? That makes a lot of sense.
The post office, the only place where someone who couldn't cut it doing a carrier or clerk job gets to be put in charge of those carriers or clerks.
Right. The person who couldn't hack it gets to tell them how to hack it.
Oh.
Screw up, move up. The motto.
Or FAFO, fuck around and find out.
That's it.
That's
my motto.
So the reason why I was saying, and listen, I don't wish any bad upon anybody, right?
Right. It's tragic. It's tragic when these things happen.
No, it's not. But it's not.
People can only take so much.
Exactly. But it's not. And that's what the media and everybody else within or without the post office, right? They deem this stuff as a tragedy when someone loses their life due to their actions, right? People think I'm always misunderstood. I'm loud. I use profanity. But you know what?
I
would give the shirt off my back. And
me too.
You ask 10 people, you're going to get 10 different answers as far as who I am. But one thing's for sure, I will help you when you're down. However, what I always say
right.
is I treat people accordingly. You disrespect me.
Right.
I'm not a yes man. I'm not going to sit there and take your shit. And I think a lot of us are like that, but it gets to the point where you've been there so long, you get complacent. Either A, get tired or don't care no more to fight back, or B, you're still scared. You're that scared little puppy since day one. But
right.
again, I don't wish it upon nobody, but what about the accountability? What about the tragedy that happened before that quote unquote tragedy? Because to me, I don't see it as a tragedy of people who losing their lives when they're the ones that are actually doing the shit to push this person's buttons for years. We're not talking one incident. We're talking a lot of incidents. No. And I know I'm going to catch some shit for saying this from some of my listeners out there, because I have management that listens to my podcast. But again, I want to point out, I don't wish harm upon nobody. But at the same token, how do you think someone's going to act if you're in their face constantly, if you're screaming at them constantly, if you're shitting on them? You know, take your situation, for instance, and you're constantly harassed and poked. There's no accountability. Mm-hmm. Union is in bed with management. So there, you have no help. What are you supposed to do? Like, we're a human being can only take so much before someone breaks. And it's a shame. Right. So it's a tragedy on both sides. Why does that happen? Right. You said it earlier. I said it earlier. It's the toxic work environments that's constantly promoting the poor work morale that management makes themselves. And it's the training that management will actually get when they become a supervisor or a postmaster. Right. When they get a position of authority and they have that training, they're the ones that are responsible for their offices, for the work morale, for the people they're supervising and watching over. Just like the union, right? The union should be have all our backs. If we're union dues paying members, you need to represent me. I don't care if you don't like me. I pay for this service. I'm a big firm believer in you get what you put out into this world. So if you're an asshole, bad karma is going to come back to you.
Right.
So again, I don't wish bad upon nobody, but sometimes y'all motherfuckers need to take a look in the mirror and reflect and take a deep look at yourselves, man, because
ask yourself if you want to be treated like that, like you treat other people. You know, it all goes back, you know, it all goes back. Do you, are you a Christian? Do you believe in what Jesus's number one principle is? Treat others as you would like to be treated, you know, and you can train somebody to be an asshole, but I fully believe that if they could tell me till they were blue in the face that I had to go lie to people and you know, be dishonest and not have any integrity, but it's just not in me. I'm not that kind of person. So if you aren't willing to do that, then, you know, just say, okay, whenever they're training you, and go back and be who you are. If you're a person that has morals and integrity and honesty, then, you know, I don't have a problem with you telling me, hey, you misdelivered this or you did this wrong.
Right.
But what I do have a problem with is you discriminate against me, harassing me every day and trying to push my buttons, and then wondering why I act the way I act, because you caused it.
Right.
Leave me alone. I do my job.
Yep. Exactly. If I do something wrong that warrants that kind of response, you know, so be it. I might still be mad, but I'll understand later. If I deserve a harsh talk to, or to be told about something that regards my behavior, my actions towards anybody, then that's warranted. That's brought on by my actions, you know, but the same thing in return, if I'm not, like, just like you said, if I'm not bothering you, don't bother me. Don't stop looking for a fight. Me and you can talk about this till we're blue in the face. It's never going to change unless we all come together, I think, and keep sharing our stories. All of our stories actually hold some weight. And I believe that in due time, with all of us sharing our stories on this platform, or with others for that matter, not just mine, there's some good people out there who have their own podcasts. There's some good information out there, man. And we just got to stay together collectively, different crafts, different positions, different unions. It doesn't matter. Stay together so that we may come back and combat this kind of toxic work environment, toxic behavior that management promotes to all of us. This ain't an NALC thing. This isn't a NRLCA thing. This isn't an APWU thing. This is a postal service and management thing. So we're all caught up in this. But you know, moving on, I want to actually backtrack a little bit, because when you were out of work, or was it your work injury? I think it was your work injury. You actually got a text message from your postmaster, right?
Are you referring to when he sent me the message to kiss his ass?
Yes. You were out of work or off work, or?
No, I was working, and I was off work that particular day, but it was 2 days before Christmas. So I had Christmas cards that I wanted delivered to some of my customers on my route. So I had taken them to the office. Well, he had trays of mail shoved underneath the sorting table. And I'm like, what is this? Oh, no, don't worry about any of that. You know, we're going to take that out a little bit at a time. And I was like, how are we going to take it out a little bit at a time? That's people's Christmas cards and stuff. It's got to be delivered before Christmas. We got 2 days here, you know, and here are these carriers, these subs are getting done before I get done, because he's not making them take all the mail. So I said, okay. I walked out the door because I knew I was about to explode. So I had to go out and compose myself, and I send them a text message. And I said, as per our contract, you will pay me $81.27 time for any curtailed mail. Mm. That's whenever I got the text message back that said, kiss my ass. And that's when the wheels came off the bus.
Mm. Now, you had proof because he texted that to you, but what did your union do with that?
I filed a grievance over it. And, you know, this was his strike one. You know, before that, we had gotten along okay. And this was strike one. So he caught me one day after work. And I'm soft-hearted. I'm a forgiving person. So I'm like, okay. He catches me outside the post office. No one else is around. We're in a parking lot. And he says, you know, please, please, you have to resign, you know, withdraw that grievance. Because, you know, I have a family. He has tears in his eyes, mind you. I have a family. You know, I'm going to get fired if you don't withdraw that grievance. And I'm really sorry. And blah, 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 blah. So, okay. I said, okay, I'll withdraw it. So I withdrew the grievance. Listen, I'm like I said, you know,
I
will forgive you for once.
Sure.
Well, you know, once that's on you and twice it's on me. So now everything that happened after that, it was on me. And I put up with it for 7 years after that. Because it was after that, you know, it was he got away with fooling me. And I'm an idiot for believing him because everything that comes out of that man's mouth was a lie. I said, you know what? I told him at one point in my career, I said, how much I trust you? If you told me the sky was blue, I would literally have to go outside and see. Because I don't believe nothing you say.
But you know what? That's usually the case with most management. Most management is like that. They're assholes. You know, it is what it is. I just tell you what it is, and that's all I can do. That's a fact. Most of y'all are assholes. Listen, we're going on to an hour just about right now for this interview. So we're going to end this interview here and call this part one. And we're going to pick back up next week with part two of this interview with our guest, Danielle. So make sure you tune in. Until next time, stay safe, my friends. That about does it here for us at Fed Up. Please don't forget to like, follow, and share this podcast. And if you are fed up like everyone else is and want to share your story and experiences, your issues and frustrations, and want your voice to be heard, I invite you to be a guest on this show. There's strength in numbers, and together, by sharing our stories, we can and will make the change that is needed. Just send me an email at one.fedup.podcast@gmail.com. Again, that's the number 1.fedup.podcast@gmail.com, and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Again, thanks for tuning in. Until next time, stay safe out there, my friends. We've been fed.